heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And all this month, we have been focusing in on the issue of origins. I've said it before, and it bears repeating. How one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their lives. If you believe that you're a function of random chance, that you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know that you are created in the image of God and accountable to Him. In light of that, you think about what Alex Rosenberg, who's the head of the philosophy department at Duke University, pretty prestigious guy, pretty prestigious position. He's a committed naturalist, and he wants to describe a completely different position than the one I just articulated. So, says Alex Rosenberg, what is the world really like? It's fermions and bosons. It's atomic particles. And everything that can be made up of those atomic particles, and nothing that can't be made up of those atomic particles. All the facts about fermions and bosons determine or fix all the other facts about reality. And what exists in this universe, or any other, if, as physics may end up showing, there are other universes. So the material facts, they fix all the other facts. And in this worldview, naturalism is denying that there are any spiritual or supernatural realities, any God to whom we are ultimately accountable. To the materialist, we have the starting point. The starting point is molecules in motion. And then we have the end point, at least for now. The end point is us. We're the most highly evolved of all species on the planet. Where I think about Richard Dawkins. He's a professor of public understanding of science at a very prestigious place, Oxford. He's arguably the best known Darwinist on the planet. And if you take anything other than the materialist position, well, then he says you're ignorant, stupid, or insane. Maybe his rhetoric is the reason he's no longer at Oxford. I don't know. But intelligent design leads in a completely different direction. Instead of fixing all the facts or having the fix in ahead of time, it allows the evidence to lead wherever it may. In other words, people involved in the intelligent design movement rightly practice open-minded science. Isn't that what we ought to be doing? Practicing open-minded science? Maybe we ought to be doing the same thing in the humanities. Maybe we ought to be doing the same thing when we discuss Islam instead of simply mouthing mantras. We ought to follow the facts wherever they lead. In the case of Islam, perhaps civilization as we know it is at stake. And the same thing could probably be said with respect to the materialist perspective. The intelligent design movement has been dubbed pseudoscience. But in reality, it begins with the common scientific principle that intelligent design is detectable wherever there is specified, organized complexity. Another way of saying that is wherever there is information. And that design principle is central to many different scientific fields. It's not new, it's not novel, it's central. And therefore, when you apply this to Earth, perfectly situated in the Milky Way for both life and scientific discovery, you end up having the existence of an intelligent designer as the most plausible scientific explanation. Now, the conclusions of the ID movement, contrary to what you hear in the popular media, it lends no more support to Christian theism than Darwinian evolution leads to atheism. Why? Because its conclusions are worldview neutral. And therefore, the appropriateness of the intelligent design movement for public education ought to be judged on the basis of the theory's explanatory power, not on its metaphysical implications. And I want to get back to what Scripture says. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, and therefore humanity is without excuse. This is an issue, again, that is foremost in our thinking all this month. A lot of resources that we have garnered over the years. You can find them on the web at equip.org, all of those or any of those available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can pick one of the items off the web having to do with the issue of origins. The two that we have featured, revolutionary. I've been talking about it again all this month. It is an absolutely stunning film. If you've watched the Illustra Media films, you'll love this. And then the book that I'm quite excited about, having written on this subject myself, the book by Tom Bethel, Darwin's House of Cards. If you don't have it, please let me talk you into getting it. It is available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI, the number to dial to get your answers or your questions answered on the broadcast today. 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to Sam in Romania, listening on the web. Hi, Sam.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes, my question is, how do we have to understand Jesus' words when he says that he's going to come back? Will he appear, and what does that mean that everybody will observe this? And does that mean that he will appear physically? And maybe it sounds stupid, but I will see him on the streets and I will know that he is back, or how do we have to interpret?
Sure. Well, it doesn't sound stupid, but I mean, here's what you have to understand is when Jesus appears a second time, as the scriptures tell us that Jesus will appear a second time, you will know that he has appeared because when he appears, he will put all things to right, which is to say that the universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 8. When Jesus appears a second time, the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. When Jesus appears a second time, we who are his followers will then be in his presence, in the presence of God, the one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. Now, Jesus appears physically. Of that, there is no doubt. The Christian faith is not platonic, it's physical. That is one of the reasons God uses physical objects on this earth to point to spiritual verities. The Christian faith is very, very physical. It's why in certain traditions there are bones and altars. Why? Because we believe in resurrection. Now, Christ was raised physically from the dead. He ascended physically into heaven. Now, that means he transcends time and space. And he will return again physically, and we will be resurrected physically. And how that works is those who are absent from the body, present with the Lord, will be caught up in the air with those who are living at the time that Jesus Christ has returned. In other words, we will welcome in the Master to restored universe. And the way that this is explained by John in Revelation chapter 21 is that God himself will be with us. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. So how do you know that Christ has appeared? The old order of things will have passed away, and all things will have become new. Not only will you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, have a resurrected body, and you'll look at that and say, whoa, something has happened. Jesus has appeared a second time because I am now resurrected according to the promise of Jesus. So you will know not only by your own physical appearance, but by the transformation of the universe. And I oftentimes try to explain this, Sam, by talking about a caterpillar that goes through what's called metamorphosis. So the caterpillar changes. It dies, as it were. It devolves into this mysterious molecular mixture, and out of that comes a new creature. And the differences are palpable. Think about the caterpillar. All it does is crawl. The butterfly flies. The caterpillar has eyes that can only distinguish between light and dark. The caterpillar has a field of vision and color acuity that exceeds that of a human being. The caterpillar eats in one way, the butterfly indulging in the nectar of life through a proboscis. So you have the same physical, the same physically, but they're different organizationally. And how that will be, I can't say. I mean, I can only use an illustration like the one I just did, but how we will be the same physically but different organizationally, again, is beyond my ability to describe. I know that it will be wonderful because the Bible describes it as glorious. But how we will look, I do not know. That we will know that Jesus has returned, we will know because we will be transformed and the universe will be transformed along with us.
I see, but an atheist said that, how is that possible that everybody will be resurrected? That means millions and trillions of people coming alive?
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. And, you know, the atheist starts with a materialist presupposition. The Christian worldview, on the other hand, starts with the presupposition of the supernatural. The universe itself is a supernatural effect that cries for an explanation. So the presuppositions are very, very different. The atheist starts with the idea that nothing creates everything. Life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life produces metaphysical realities. The Christian starts from a completely different vantage point. So you have to ultimately look at what corresponds to reality. And if you look at that closely, you find out that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. And therefore, if you have an effect like the universe, there has to be a cause of that universe, an uncaused first cause, which we describe as God. I'm going to have to leave it at that, Sam. Lots of information on the web at equip.org to continue answering your questions in this regard. Thank you for calling me from Romania today. That's always fun. We're coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Instrument broadcast. Do you remember the number to dial? 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back.
In this case, the revolution has been televised. Revolutionary tells the story of Michael Behe's transformation from mild-mannered biochemist to orthodoxy-challenging revolutionary. It also explores the rise of the broader intelligent design movement in biology, the attempt to silence supporters of intelligent design in federal court, and the eventual vindication of the ideas of Professor Behe and others during the last decade. It's time to think critically and stand up to the unscientific status quo. Are you ready to join Michael Behe and be a revolutionary? To receive your copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
Thank you.
Are you ready to join the revolution? The DVD Revolutionary documents the journey of biochemist Michael Behe as he challenges the scientific establishment on new discoveries illuminating the limitations of Darwinism. Learn what led Dr. Behe to his famous discoveries, how those opposed to his ideas tried to kill them in court, how Behe's ideas have been vindicated by science during the past decade, and how his ideas have led to a growing movement for a new approach to biology. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Bruce, listening in Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I've got a question, and most of it's in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews.
Yeah.
Do you know who...
Are you still there? Got some dead space here. I don't know if you can hear me, Bruce, but give me a call back and we'll see if we can listen to the rest of your question. Do you know who? You left me in suspense. Anyway, let me take a Facebook question. Zach Nicole. Let's see if I can figure this one out. In Acts 21, it appears that James and the elders instruct Paul in verse 26 to offer sacrifices in the temple. If this is indeed what is to be interpreted here, isn't this in direct conflict with what Jesus taught? And furthermore, does it not imply that Christ's sacrifice at Calvary wasn't enough? I'm stumped, and I would appreciate your input on the matter. Well, Zach Nicole, by the way, I love the name. That is a great question. And I think that the way we have to look at this is context, context, context. You have to read the whole of the context, maybe going back to verse 17. I'm not sure, but 17 through 26 is probably adequate. So here's the bottom line. If the motive is to win Jews to Christ, and certainly that was the case with the Apostle Paul, who said, "To the Jews I have become like the Jews to win the Jews. I have become all things to all men, that by all possible means I might save some." Well, if that's the case, then it's perfectly acceptable to engage in civil and ceremonial laws that ultimately are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, again, you have to get the whole story, which means that Paul has to be telling the whole story. Paul knows that temple priest and sacrifice are fulfilled in the ultimate sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. And therefore, since the temple is still there and sacrifices are still being made, the point has to be made that those sacrifices ultimately culminate in Christ. So you can't tell part of the story in this case. Paul, and he most certainly did, tells the whole of the story. But there's another side to the coin. If, on the other hand, the motive is a motive simply of appeasement, to appease the Judaizers, well, believers in Christ who are saying obedience to the law was required for salvation would then be, well, they would be remiss. Sacrifices would not only be odious, they would be an abomination tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So on the one hand, if you're going to make the sacrifice, you've got to tell the whole story. which is the story that you have in Types and Shadows pointing to Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if you are simply trying to appease Judaizers, then this is great heresy. This is great sin. Hebrews, again, going so far as to saying that this is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Doesn't get any worse than that. And there's precedent for what I'm saying. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, Paul tells Gentile converts that they're going to be cut off from Christ if they allow themselves to be circumcised because they are now under the influence of those who are making obedience to the law necessary for salvation. On the other hand, we have two sides of the coin here. If you go to Acts chapter 16, Paul has Timothy circumcised for the sake of witnessing to the Jews, so his motive, of course, was witness, not works righteousness. So again, you have to see what is the goal. A lot of times when I talk to Jewish people, I want to bring up the types and shadows first, and then show people how those types and shadows are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. However, once the fulfillment has come, you can't go back to the precedent of making sacrifices in our epoch of time. We know that Christ has come, and to go back to temple priests and sacrifice is, as I said, odious and abominable. Let's go back to the phone line, see if we can get Bruce this time. Sorry, Bruce. Sirius XM 131, hi.
Hey, Hank. Yeah, I lost my service a while ago. I'm a truck driver, and I lost my service coming down through here. My question was, does anybody actually know who Melchizedek was in Hebrews?
Yeah, Melchizedek is depicted as King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. And then we're told in Hebrews that like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So what Melchizedek ultimately represents is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of weight to saying that. I cash this out in my book, Has God Spoken? A lot of weight to saying that, particularly with new archaeological discoveries, including the Isaiah scroll, I believe it was, that was found in one of the Qumran caves. So, again, what do you have Hebrews telling us? Hebrews is not only designating Melchizedek king of righteousness and king of peace and overtly telling us that he is without mother or father, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, but that like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So he doesn't trace his descent from Levi. And yet, if you look at the Old Testament, and I think this is really interesting, he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater person. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die. In the other case, by him who is declared to be the living. So I think what you have to really notice there is that in contrast to men who die, Melchizedek is declared to be the living. So when we talk about Melchizedek, I think we're talking about what's called a Christophany. In the Old Testament, there are theophanies, angelophanies, and Christophanies. Theophany is an appearance of God, the Father. A Christophany is an appearance of the second person of the Trinity. An angelophany is God, by his own creative prowess, allowing an angel that does not have physicality to appear. So what we have here is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament.
Okay, I was just reading Hebrews last night, and I've already read about it one time, and I've seen, you know, read in there where he was, didn't have a mother, didn't have a father, no genealogy, you know, he had nothing. And I was just trying to figure out who he was. I I thought that he had something to do with our Lord.
Yeah, and he does. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, but I sure appreciate it, and I want you to have a blessed day, okay?
Thank you so much. And I'm glad you got back in touch with us. This is one of the interesting questions, that who was, and then you're left hanging, unfortunately. Bruce called back. You know, from the perspective of heaven, it is Melchizedek who is the king of Salem. It is Melchizedek who remains a priest forever. And as such, Melchizedek appears as a human king and priest, and yet is without beginning of days or end of life, a priest who offers bread and wine from the Jerusalem that is above and free, and is our mother. It's a pretty cool thing when you start to look at the typology as is cashed out in the scriptures. The more you study things like this, the more respect you have for the Word of God. It is a tapestry of surpassing beauty. And as I said before, if you look at some of the findings that we have, the Melchizedek scroll from Cave 11, for example, one of the Dead Sea Scrolls, it helps to flesh out our understanding. It's just another part of the argument substantiating the fact that this is indeed a Christophany. I'm going to wait for the next segment to take another call. And of course, we're going to start the next segment with the quote of the day. I want to spend just a few moments asking people to join CRI's monthly support team. We've described that support team as our Green Berets or as our Special Forces. And without our support team, we simply could not do our podcasts or our broadcasts or whatever we do at the Christian Research Institute 24/7 around the world. So if you're an occasional donor, we want to thank you for being part of the team, for giving to the ministry, and encourage you to consider becoming a monthly support team member. Every single week, I personalize books to people who join CRI's monthly support team. I can personalize a book to you, a family member, or a friend. Check all of that out on the web at equip.org. Something else I want to say quickly, and that is, if you have given, think about what it would mean if you gave again. In other words, if you've only made one gift to the Christian Research Institute, obviously we're very grateful for your support. But if you gave a second gift or a third gift, that would translate to hundreds of thousands of dollars that can be transformed into vitally needed ministry. And then I want to talk to a group that have no doubt been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, some maybe for 20 or 30 years, and you've never made a gift to the Christian Research Institute. Let me encourage you to get out of the bleachers and onto the playing field. Whatever you can do would be used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also download CRI's Equip app and give in a safe, secure fashion on the app, where you can listen to the broadcast live, archived broadcasts, articles, and much more. There's a lot of ways in which you can give. Equip.org, one of the easiest. We get immediate use of the funds. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the quote of the day.
In a brilliantly produced documentary film on DVD from the Discovery Institute titled Revolutionary, Professor Michael Behe, a distinguished biochemist and recognized leader in the intelligent design movement, pokes serious holes in Darwinism with trailblazing insights into irreducible complexity. You might be asking, what is irreducible complexity? It is a concept clearly explained in Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This DVD will show you exactly why Darwin's theory is well past its prime. To receive a copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive your copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day might rival the shortest quote of the day ever on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It's just a few words, but it is potent. It comes from Francis Crick, co-discoverer of the double helix of DNA, who wrote this. This is the quote of the day. Biologists must constantly keep in mind that what they see was not designed, but rather evolved. Now think about that. Biologists must constantly keep in mind that what they see was not designed, but rather evolved. So if you're a biologist and you look at complexity, you look at design, You look at something that is screaming out, like the bacterium or bacterial just like full. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I cannot say this word. It is F-L-A-G-E-L-L-U-M. I've said it a million times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and it is the very example used, flagellum, is how you say it. It just eluded me. Talk about a senior moment right on air. But the bacterial flagellum, this was the very example that was used by Michael Behe. So you have this motorized flagellum that needs all of its parts, and when you start looking at it, it is a miniature marvel, and all the parts are necessary. If you get rid of some of the parts, it simply doesn't work. For example, it's likened unto a outboard motor. If the outboard motor doesn't have a propeller, it simply is not going to do its job. But at any rate, you look at it and it has design. And so Francis Crick tells you, you got to remind yourself that this really wasn't designed. So I think this is a great quote. The quote of the day, again, underscoring the fact that as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, you have to repress the truth, which is a very evil thing to do. You have to repress the fact that there is an ultimate architect. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David in Midland, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, well, sorry I'm driving here if there's some road noise, but appreciate you taking my question. We moved cities about 3 years ago. I've been kind of hunting for a church, and as we've been looking around, we've come across, I kind of feel like God's leading us towards some charismatic churches, which is new to me. I grew up in a Methodist church, and I have several friends that are Baptists, so I was just kind of curious what your opinion was on that and the topic of the gifts either ceasing or still being in play today, and I'll hang up and listen.
Sure. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in Pentecostalism is called the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Charismatics don't hold that position. They hold the position that it may be a evidence, but they don't say it's the evidence. And certainly there are charismatic churches that are fully within the pale of orthodoxy. So I think what you need to do is ultimately look at the goal. What are you aiming at? A lot of people shoot the arrow at the wall and draw the bullseye around where it lands, but you have to figure out in advance, what is it that I'm aiming for? And what you're aiming for is a healthy, well-balanced church. You want a church in which word and sacrament is the means by which you worship God in spirit and in truth. So you want the proclamation of the word and the dispensing of the sacraments. You also want a church in which you can feel that you have a contribution to make to the body. And to get some kind of sense of what I'm talking about there, I think it's helpful to read Romans chapter 12. And then finally, you want a church in which you can be equipped to be a more effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit as you go out and seek to make a difference in this world. So this is not about being equipped for evangelism. This is not just evangelism per se. It's being equipped for evangelism so that you can be an effective witness. So again, worship God, critical. I mean, that's what we do when we walk into a church. We are worshiping God. We want to make sure that we have a church in which we are genuinely connected to the rest of the body, oneness, and then equipped for witness. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Frank in Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Hank, it's Frank. How are you?
Good.
Good, Hank. Question. It relates to the earlier question about Melchizedek. So he's often thought to be the Old Testament Jesus, and he was king of Salem. Jesus was from Jerusalem, and I'm just wondering, does Salem and Jerusalem, do they somehow relate to one another?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely they do. From an earthly perspective, Abraham was king of Salem, meaning that he was king of Jerusalem. This was the very region where God gave him victory in the Battle of the Kings. You read about that in Genesis chapter 14. And it was the very realm in which God called him to establish a righteous nation of kings and priests. But there's another perspective that we have to look at here, and that is the perspective of heaven. From that perspective, it is Melchizedek who is king of Salem and remains a priest forever. And therefore, as I said to the earlier caller, Melchizedek appears as a human king and priest and yet is without beginning of days or end of life, a priest who offers bread and wine from the Jerusalem that is above, that is free, and that is our mother. So you have two different perspectives. You have the earthly perspective, and you have the heavenly perspective. You have the Jerusalem below and the Jerusalem above. But Salem does specifically connote Jerusalem.
Thank you so much, Hank. I appreciate it.
You're absolutely welcome. My pleasure. You know, let's see if we can sneak in another email question. This one is from Anthony. And Anthony asks, was Jesus married? And if so, what is the evidence? I watched a program called The Gospel of Jesus, Jesus's Wife, where they claim a fragment of a document said Jesus identified Mary Magdalene as his wife, the so-called Gospel of Mary. I want to know what you think. Frankly, I don't buy it. I'm glad you're not buying into this. I mean, a lot of people are buying into this because they watch The Da Vinci Code. I wrote a book with Dr. Paul Meyer called The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. And one of the things we talk about in that book is the reality that this fiction that Jesus was married is just that. It is fictitious. It's sensationalism. It's based on sloppy journalism. It's based on manuscripts that have no credibility whatsoever. So I think in an age of historical and biblical illiteracy, it's become increasingly popular to perpetuate a notion without really having good evidence for it. And the depictions that you have in movies and books that have become popular in our day are fanciful, to say the least. There's no evidence whatsoever in Scripture. There's no evidence in the writings of the early Christian church. There's no evidence in extra-biblical accounts of the life of Jesus Christ that he was ever married. There's no evidence whatsoever. And contrary to the oft-mentioned idea, canard, whatever you want to call it, it's just bathed in nonsense and fiction, and the nonsense and fiction that are most often cited is the Gospel of Philip and the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, and this is one of the Gospels I guess you mentioned in your question, and they are not only written too late to be considered reliable, but neither specifies nor implies that Jesus and Mary were actually married. So here you have two documents that are pointed to, and people don't bother reading them. Sort of like the Gospel of Judas. I mean, this is one of my favorite stories. The Gospel of Judas, I mean, it's supposed to be more erudite and sophisticated and fantastic than the Gospel of John. So I thought, you know what, I've never read the Gospel of Judas. And I thought, you know, I don't want to do this on my own, so I invited Stephen, who's worked with me for 27 years, to read along with me. So we went in my office and we started reading the Gospel of Judas. It's 13 papyrus pages, so it's pretty short. We started reading the Gospel of Judas, which was so lauded by academics for its erudition and insight, and as we were reading it, we started belly laughing. I mean, I think we were actually on the floor at one point laughing. It was so hilarious. And that's exactly what you get with the Gospel of Philip and the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. They're late. They're not reliable. And when you actually read them, they don't make the point that they're supposed to be making to begin with. And I would say one other thing. There's no evidence from the historical record supporting the notion that Jesus was married. But we need to add to that that there's great and powerful evidence that Jesus was not married. And I got this idea, actually, from Paul Meyer, my co-author of the Da Vinci Code, Factor of Fiction. He pointed out in 1 Corinthians 9:5 that Paul defended his right to have a wife by appealing to the fact that Peter and other apostles had wives. Don't we have a right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Well, as Paul Meyer pointed out, if Jesus had been married, it is unthinkable that Paul would have neglected to appeal to Jesus as the ultimate precedent. But for that reason, this is the graveyard of the married Jesus fiction, or at least it should be the graveyard for thinking people everywhere. Well, we're out of time for this week's editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember, we rely on you joining the team, standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can join Sierra's monthly support team and make a difference in the lives of people all around the world. Yeah, when you do, again, I'd be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. But again, thank you to all those that have already done that, standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to seeing you right back here next week with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.